Winning once is hard enough.
The wait is over.
How sweet it is, the fruits of victory.
But this year's battle...
Show the Giants who the real bosses are in the NL West.
...is for back-to-back.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's do back-to-back. Conquer for Kirsch.
Welcome to Postseason Dodger Talk.
I'm grateful for your show.
And I love listening to you, especially on the game.
Your chance to sound off on the Boys in Blue. Call the show at 866-987-2570.
Without you guys, there's no Dodger Talk.
LA Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers,
Navien Tankless Water Heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Now your host for Postseason Dodger Talk, David Bassett.
There will be a Game 5 on Thursday night, thanks to the Dodger offense scoring 7 runs to defeat the San Francisco Giants tonight in Game 4 of the NLDS, 7-2. Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vasse live at Dodger Stadium until 11:30. Taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Ned Coletti will join us at the top of the hour. We'll hear from Dave Roberts and Giants manager Gabe Kapler a little bit later in the show. But tonight, it was all about Walker Buehler, and it was all about the Dodger offense. And we have seen this offense all season long be boom or bust. They hit home runs, they usually win. They score 5 runs, they usually win, because the Dodger pitching staff has been that good all season long. And you knew Walker Buehler, even on 3 days rest, was going to deliver. And he certainly did. I felt like the tone was set in the first inning when Walker Buehler set the Giants down in order and only threw 11 pitches. That was a tone setter, that even though he was on 3 days rest for the first time in his career, he was here to win, like he has been in his young career in the postseason. He lives for these type of games, and especially here at Dodger Stadium. And I thought it was so cool that Dodger fans, even though he came out with one out in the fifth inning, realized that he went to the limits for the Dodgers. And I really believe maybe got over a mental hurdle of pitching on 3 days rest in the postseason, because he had never done it before. It was uncharted territory for him, and he delivered like he has for the Dodgers all postseason career of this very young career. If you look back, he made his major league debut in 2017. He became a starter in 2018 for the Dodgers and hasn't looked back since. And he has just been a big game pitcher going back to college at Vanderbilt, winning the College World Series with Vanderbilt. And that was part of the reason why the Dodgers wanted to draft him. It was part of Andrew Friedman's first ever draft as president of baseball operations for the Dodgers. So Walker Buehler goes 4 1/3 innings, and more importantly, the Dodger offense gave him and this Dodger bullpen some run support. I know it could have been more early on in the game. The Dodgers did leave a lot of men on base early on. They were 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position in the first 3 innings tonight. But they were able to break through with a 2-run home run by Mookie Betts in the 4th inning. And I guess you have to give credit to the Giants' defense as well, which has been unbelievable this series. And Lamont Wade Jr., who has been one of those unsung heroes for San Francisco, made a great catch on a line drive by Chris Taylor that was headed for the left field wall, and certainly would have come close to clearing the bases, at the very least would have scored 2 runs. But instead, Lamont Wade Jr. made a spectacular catch and was able to end the inning. And then you had Mookie Betts' 2-run home run. The Dodgers were able to tack on a run in the 5th inning. And as the game was certainly in control by the Dodgers, Will Smith hit a 2-run home run to really put it away. And the Dodgers defeat the San Francisco Giants tonight 7-2. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. How about Gavin Lux? getting his first start of this NLDS in center field. He comes through offensively, getting on base four times tonight and scoring a run. He certainly did his part of what the Dodgers envisioned by inserting him into the starting lineup against the right-hander Di Sclafani, and allowed him to do what the Dodgers had been looking for him to do the last couple of weeks of the regular season, when he delivered with a 500 batting average, and we hadn't seen Lux up until this point as a starter in this series. The Dodgers needed his bat in the lineup, especially without Max Muncy in this series, and we finally got to see Gavin Lux make his first start, and he delivered offensively. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to the phones. Kevin in Irvine, you lead us off on Dodger Talk tonight. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. What a great game. I had tickets for the game tonight, but I gave it to the Frisco brothers, which are good friends, and they said they had a great time. The stadium was rocking. But what I wanted to revert to, one of the players that really has done well is Cody Bellinger. If you remember the other day with Sachs and Tim in the morning, Sachs had said, hey, maybe he could get back to his all-star form. But you had said, as a Dodger insider, no, we don't want that. We want him just to contribute. And then the other thing is, you said that Julio would win 15 to 20 games this season, and hopefully he wins 22. So you were right on that.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate it. Look, the Dodgers would love to have Cody Bellinger revert to his MVP form, but all they need from Cody Bellinger is what they have gotten since the wild card game, and that's coming up with big hits, keeping the line moving, and playing great defense at first base and center field, and that's exactly what he did tonight, getting a couple of hits, starting at first base, then moving into center field later in the game. So, Cody Bellinger, a lot of people were giving up on him. I pleaded with you not to do that because of the mere fact that Cody has the ability of changing games with his bat, with his glove, and he has done that in this NLDS, and he did it during that wild card game against the St. Louis Cardinals. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Corona. Lee, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Lee.
Hey, David, how's it going? Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to make a different, covered all the bases, no pun intended. You know, so let's go back a few years. I know it's Dodger talk, but Phil Jackson, when he was a Laker, the Bulls, but in the playoffs, he would always work the media. And what I mean is he would go to the media and say how all the calls, even though we knew it wasn't true, but all the calls were going against the Lakers. And what I think Dave Roberts should do is going into this game five, is work the media and say, you know, we know how good Webb is. We just want to make sure that those outside corner pitches that aren't on the outside corner are called balls and not strikes. And I think he should really do that tomorrow. Maybe not call out the umpires, but just do it how I know it's a different sport, but do it how Phil used to do it. And that way maybe someone will hear it. Maybe they could even send game film to Major League Baseball and say, look, strikes are strikes, but let's not help him out and give him the strikes that are 3 or 4 inches off the corner. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Doing a great job, and go Dodgers on Thursday.
All right. Thanks for the phone call, Lee. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570. You would imagine the Dodgers seeing what Logan Webb's strategy was in game one and doing it so effectively, they will be more prepared to lay off some of those pitches outside of the strike zone, because uncharacteristically, they were chasing some of his changeups and sliders, and he kept going to the well, and that's what prompted Dave Roberts to say he would have liked to have seen different clubs brought out by the Dodger bats. And what he was saying was using a golf analogy where he didn't just want the driver, he wanted different situational hitting opportunities for the Dodgers. Don't try to always slug. And we'll see whether or not the Dodgers learn something from facing Logan Webb in game one of this NLDS. Speaking of Dave Roberts, he and Walker Buehler decided it was the right decision for Buehler to start on 3 days rest. And Buehler proved out to be up to the task tonight and was able to go 4 1/3 innings and gave up just one earned run. Let's hear from the Dodger manager, Dave Roberts.
God, I honestly want to say he had better stuff than he did the other night. I think the solution is to have him go on short more often. I think sometimes, and this is just kind of, he just seemed relaxed. And sometimes when you might be a little bit more fatigued and not too amped up or too strong, you sort of kind of try not to do too much. And all night long, he stayed in his delivery. All the stuff, the velocity, the characteristics of his secondary pitches was really good. Used the changeup when he needed to. I thought it was really good all night long.
On the left, Kyle.
Dave, Gavin Lux reached base all four plate appearances tonight after, you know, coming close to a game-winning home run last night. Just what are you seeing from him at the plate right now, and what do you like about what you're seeing?
I think I just love the heartbeat, the composure. I think that just watching him take at bats, it's like a guy that's played, you know, in the postseason, you know, much more than he has. And so I think that results withstanding, he had a big night. He had a big night. But I think that how he's kind of conducted himself in this setting is very telling.
What gives you the confidence to put him out there in center field as only his seventh career start out there in a big spot like this?
I think it's more of I trust the person. And he's a baseball player. And I think that if I felt that the moment would get to him, and in this situation, not as much experience out there, then I would kind of rethink it. But I just feel that he can handle whatever situation I put him in. And this has been a big, big growing year for Gavin.
Down here, Claudia.
Dave, can you talk about Bruce Dargrad at all and how he has improved, especially in this postseason?
He's really, I guess I can say, composed again. I mean, he's really shown a lot of poise. He's a very emotional guy. But I think, you know, when you're in the postseason, the emotion is already sort of going to be there naturally. So it's about execution and making pitches and taking good at-bats. And Bruce Dar, you look at the outings that we've run him out there, he's made good quality pitches, and the moment isn't getting too big for him. So I think last year, it was his first year, and great young man, very excitable, and the fans love it. But I think that, you know, when you're talking about big, big spots, being able to keep your poise and still focus on making pitches is growth, and he's done a fantastic job.
Okay. In the back, Bob.
Dave, after you guys won the wild card game, you said this is what baseball wants, Dodgers, Giants. You think tied at 109 now, this is what baseball wants to a game five?
Is what baseball wants. I mean, I think, as I understand, all the series are done, and so we're going to be the only show in town. So if you have a pulse or you're a sports fan, you better be watching Dodgers, Giants. So it's going to be a great one.
Or listening to Dodgers Giants, and that will be on Thursday night at 6:07 right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. The Dodgers get the win over San Francisco in Game 4 of the NLDS to force that deciding Game 5 on Thursday night at Oracle Park. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to our man, Eric, in Hollywood. The Dodgers delivered for you tonight.
Dodger Nation! Wow. Game was intense, Doc. Took care of business tonight. Good game management. Got to give a shout-out to Doc. As the unofficial president of the Cody Bellinger fan club, Belly came out to play. Oh, my God. Belly, where you been at, man? We miss you. Belly killed it tonight. Belly killed it tonight. David, I just want to give a shout-out to all the L.A. Dodger fans out there. I told them prior with Tim Cates, but Tim Cates ain't you. You are you. David Vasse is David Vasse. I just want to say right now, yo, L.A., let's get this going. Even though they're not here in Los Angeles, they're in San Francisco, let's root for the blue. David, Urias is going to take care of business. What do you think, bro?
I have no doubt that he's going to take care of his business. Now the Dodger offense has to take care of theirs, Eric. Like I said last night, I had no doubts about Walker Buehler tonight. I wanted to see the Dodger offense go boom, and that's what they did tonight after going bust to last night here at Dodger Stadium. So it's never about the Dodgers pitching. Make that something that you always realize so far this season. It's been never about the Dodger pitching. They've delivered the majority of the nights, but it's been about the Dodger offense and being unselfish and not trying to slug every time up. Understand the situation. Find a way to keep the line moving. And the Dodgers did a pretty good job of that tonight. They could have done a better job of it, but they're going to have to put that into play on Thursday night in San Francisco to be able to beat Logan Webb, because not one guy is going to be able to do it. Like Cody Bellinger said, the night that Chris Taylor hit that walk-off home run against the St. Louis Cardinals, it was about the guys in front of Taylor. Like Cody Bellinger said after game two, when he had that bases loaded two-run double, it was the walk by Chris Taylor in front of him that made the difference. So it's not always about one guy. It's about the guys ahead of them. And passing the baton is something that the Dodgers have talked about the last 6 or 7 years. They have done it at times this year. They have done it at times in the NLDS. But to beat Logan Webb in San Francisco, they are going to have to employ that. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Ryan, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Ryan. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, Dave, just got out from the stadium. I just want to give a shout-out to all the homegrown Dodger players on our team. You know, you hear so much about us buying championships and buying wins, but, you know, we have Julio Urias, Walker Buehler, Gavin Lux, Cody Bellinger, all going off for us tonight, you know, all a core part of last year and this year and all of our success. So I just want to say, you know, for everyone who says we buy championships, you know, they just don't know how a real team is built, you know. They don't know how we do in L.A. like we do.
Hey, if you look at the beginning of the season opening day rosters, there was so much talk about the San Diego Padres, who turned out to be pretenders, that they had such a great minor league system. And if you look at their opening day roster, only one player was from their minor leagues, and that was Nelson Lamet. Well, the Dodgers have had so many guys come through this year, not only as fringe players, but big-time players, Ryan, including Gavin Lux and Will Smith tonight, along with Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager. You can go on and on, Ryan. So you're 100% right. It was the Dodgers system that produced a lot of these good players, and they delivered tonight.
Absolutely. And the scouting, you know, getting all the cast-offs, like Justin Turner and Max Muncy and, you know, those players too. So, you know.
Thank you, Farhan, for Max Muncy. Thanks for the phone call, Ryan. 866-987-2570. Dodgers win game four of the NLDS 7-2. Game five in San Francisco on Thursday night. If you're not making it up to Oracle Park, they are going to have a watch party here at Dodger Stadium on Thursday night, like they did for the first two games of this series. And you can get your tickets at Dodgers.com. Let's go out to Evan, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Evan. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, Dave. I saw you at the end of the game. I was wearing my lucky suit.
Oh, yeah, the Riddler.
You know that win was all thanks to that Dodger Stadium crowd giving the love all night long. No cardboard cutouts, buddy. Not tonight.
No, not tonight at all, and it was a great atmosphere here at Dodger Stadium. Great to meet you tonight, Evan, and I know everybody is very excited that the Dodgers and Giants are headed to a Game 5. Both teams now, with the playoff wins included, have won 109 games this year, and it all comes down to Thursday night, a deciding Game 5 between Julio Urias and Logan Webb at Oracle Park. And for the Dodgers, it's all about their offense. Which Dodger offense are we going to see? And remember, in the first two games of this series in San Francisco, Dave Roberts insisted he wanted Cody Bellinger in center field to cover a lot of ground. So if Cody Bellinger is in center field, who plays first base? Who plays left field? Do the Dodgers give left field to Gavin Lux? After a game like tonight, I don't see how you don't start Gavin Lux in left field on Thursday night. Let's go out to North Hollywood. Steven, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Steven.
Hey, how's it going, your fellow Notre Dame Knight?
All right.
I had a question. Yeah. I was at the game. That's why my voice is completely thrashed. It was an awesome game. I'm always conservative about the games, and I felt that Lux would be good coming off the bench. But then, man, he was amazing today. And same thing, I feel like he should be out there. He needs the at-bats. But then, you know, what's the adjustment that we make? And then I was also wondering about Urias, hopefully I'm anticipating he's going to mow him down. But if he doesn't, what's the plan? Like, who do you think would come up? Would it just be the entire bullpen?
It would be a bullpen situation. The Dodgers haven't used their bullpen that much in this series. They've gotten really good starts from a lot of guys, including Max Scherzer last night, who went 7 innings. So, yeah, if it's not Julio, I could see possibly Scherzer. It would be his throw day, coming out of the bullpen if necessary, but honestly, I don't believe that's coming into play. You have to play the games, no doubt about it, and Julio is human, but he has stepped up in every big game the last 2 years in the postseason for the Dodgers, so I don't anticipate that being an issue. The Giants had a lot of problems against good left-handers this year. They had problems against Julio in Game 2, so I feel like he's going to hold up his end of the bargain, Steven. The Dodgers just need offense. They need to find a way to generate some offense in San Francisco against Logan Webb. And that's always the question. I can't answer that, Steven. I don't know which Dodger offense is going to show up. Is it the one we saw last night? Is it the one that we saw tonight? I have no idea. We're going to have to wait and see in Game 5.
I feel like it's going to be, you know, the 6th or 7th time through the lineup. We can just think about it in that mindset. We saw him in Game 1. We know what he's bringing, and we know about, you know, just laying off that. I mean, it's easier to say it than actually do it. But now that you know that outside stuff and how much movement he has, if you can just even just lay off the more
easier
outside
said than done,
then,
Steven.
And, yeah.
Easier yeah, said than yeah. done, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not he's able to throw his changeups as effectively as he did in Game 1. If he gets that changeup up in the strike zone, it'll be the middle part of the plate, and the Dodgers will jump all over it. So Logan Webb has to prove it to us that he can throw that changeup as effectively as he was in Game 1, and the Dodgers have to prove to us they can hit Logan Webb and make the necessary adjustments. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We're going to take a timeout here on Dodger Talk from Dodger Stadium. And when we come back, we'll check in with Ned Colletti, who is out there in the center field plaza with Oral Hershiser, John Hartung, and the others, Jerry Hairston Jr. on the postgame show out there. So we'll check in with Ned, and we'll also hear from Gabe Kapler, who was the losing manager tonight as the Dodgers force a Game 5 with a 7-2 win in Game 4 of the NLDS right here on AM570 LA Sports.
AM570.
Dodger Talk is available on AM570LASports.com and on the iHeartRadio app. Back to more Dodger Talk with Dodger insider David Vasse.
Garcia, the lefty, set at the belt and delivers. There's a fly ball to right field. Well hit. Bryant going back to the wall, and it is gone! Mookie Betts goes the other way, and the Dodgers take a 4-0 lead. A 2-run shot for Betts here in the home half of the fourth.
Mookie Betts gave the Dodgers some breathing room in the bottom of the fourth inning with a 2-run home run as the Dodgers go on to defeat the San Francisco Giants in Game 4 of the NLDS, 7-2 and force a deciding Game 5 in San Francisco on Thursday night. Welcome back to Dodger Talk. David Vasse live at Dodger Stadium. We're with you until the bottom of the hour. And Daniels Jewelers Home Run Forecast congratulates Ryan Rimac, who receives a $50 Daniels Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card, good at over 100 Daniels locations, go to am570lasports.com. Keyword, home run. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment, but we want to check in with Ned Coletti, who was part of a very crowded stage out there in the center field plaza. A lot of happy Dodger fans behind him and the rest of the crew at Sportsnet LA. And Ned, the Dodgers obviously needed this win, and I felt like Walker Buehler set the tone in the first inning.
Yep, he got command of his fastball right out of the gate, both up in the zone and down in the zone. I thought he pitched terrific. You're talking the first time on 3 days rest, he got 13 outs. By the time the Giants got 10 outs, they were on their fifth reliever. So it's tough to tell who had short rest today, just Scalfani or Walker. But he was great, and he set the tone, and the Dodgers offensively did the same thing, and bottom of the first inning went right to work.
Ned, it felt like the Dodgers should have been up by 5 runs after the first 2 innings. Did you feel the same way? They were only up 2-0 after really hurting DeSclafani, knocking him out of the game. But you look up at the scoreboard, and they were only up by 2 runs. How did you feel early on?
Well, it was a little touch and go there because they did have opportunities, but they couldn't really add on, had a run here and a run there, and then Mookie hit the 2-run home run to right field. But they had opportunities, and you always wonder in a game like this if those opportunities that you do not cash in are going to come back after you and hurt you later on in the game. And you had some situations with San Francisco, a couple runners on, home run changes the game, obviously. But Walker pitched out of traffic. The bullpen continued to do excellent. And then when Mookie hit the 2-run homer, I think that changed the dynamic quite a bit. I think San Francisco was kind of clinging a little bit, hoping that they could take advantage of the Dodgers' inability to mount more than a couple runs there early. But after that 2-run homer, I think that it kind of took the steam out of them a little bit, and I think they realized they were up against it.
Ned, Gabe Kapler used 7 different relief pitchers tonight. You mentioned that at the beginning of this. Were you surprised just how he was freewheeling with those relief pitchers, considering his key relievers had thrown a lot of pitches in the first 3 games of this series?
Well, it's something that I don't understand. I mean, I've been in the game 40 years, never managed in the game, so there's probably a few things that I'd probably need explained to me, including that. I don't understand that you've got really kind of a young bullpen by and large, and certainly they're pitching in different environments. Dodger Stadium, not an easy place to pitch in. But I think when you have a lineup like the Dodgers have that is so deep and such experienced hitters that can really grind out a fast, I think the more familiarity the Dodgers have with the Giants relief pitchers, I think the better they're going to be. So I'm not sure why you would continue to expose guys. And we saw a lack of command with a couple of their relievers. You're bringing guys in and they can't throw strikes. So what's the message? How does, what are you gaining out of it? I just don't get it. Walker Buehler's on short rest. He gets 13 outs, and I said earlier, by the time the Giants had 10 outs, they're on relief pitcher number 4 and their fifth pitcher of the game. So, it's been a long year for everybody. And to continue to go to the well like that, well, I don't mind seeing it if I'm on the other club.
Yeah, so not only tonight does he go to 7 different relief pitchers, that's a great point by you to say it gives the Dodgers looks at the way these relief pitchers are throwing right now going into Game 5. Do you feel like, with all that being said, the Dodgers have an advantage if they can get Logan Webb's pitch count up early in the game?
Well, Logan Webb is obviously a very smart and talented pitcher. When you watch, we go back to that opening game, there were a lot of pitches that the Dodgers chased. He expanded the zone a lot. Trey Turner, batting champion, had a tough time. staying inside the zone. He is somebody that you have to make throw strikes. His stuff in the strike zone is not exceptional. It's good, but not exceptional. What makes him successful, in my opinion, and makes him exceptional is his ability to have a pitch look like a strike and end up really down in the zone or really away from the plate. And I think that that's the key for him. If you can get him to throw that changeup over the plate, not where it's going to hit start at the knees and drop to your feet, you've got a chance. So I think the patience, and I think as they think back to their at-bats in game one, if they can be patient with him and make him throw strikes, I think they're going to be in a great spot. And, again, you're going to get into that bullpen at some point in time. I think that that will also pay a dividend for the Dodgers. But you got to make Webb throw strikes. There's no two ways about it. That's the key to the game, in my opinion. Julio, I think, is going to be fine. I'm not worried about Julio one bit or the Dodgers bullpen. I think it's really about being patient in that environment, and I think they learned a lot from game one.
And isn't that the true test for Logan Webb, Ned, to see whether or not he can execute that changeup as well as he did in game one? What's the likelihood a pitcher can duplicate that type of performance?
Well, it depends if the Dodgers give him a chance to do it. I think a lot of it rests with the patience of the hitters. He's going to try it. There's no doubt. That's how he pitches. That's his best weapon. Is really deception and running balls off the plate or running them down in the zone that guys can't lay off of. So I'm not sure if he doesn't have the opportunity to do that because the Dodgers won't give him the opportunity to do that. I don't think he's going to be that successful against them. I think they'll take it to him. But if they chase and he pitches like he did the other day, yeah, it's going to be a tough night for the Dodgers. But you got a lot of professional hitters here, a lot of guys that learn from that experience, you know, and I think that that puts the Dodgers in a good spot. Logan White is not going to throw it past you 98, 99 miles an hour.
Ned Coletti, former Dodger GM, now Sportsnet LA analyst, is joining us. And before I let you go, Ned, the Dodgers in San Francisco said they wanted Cody Bellinger to patrol that big center field. So do you feel like they go back to Cody in center field? And if they do, do you feel like Gavin Lux is starting in left field in game five?
It's a good possibility. He has not played a lot of left field lately. And I think that, you know, it's tougher. He's admitted that it is tougher. He's a middle of the diamond player, having played second and short. So he does see the ball off the bat better from center field. The angle in left field is a little bit tougher to handle. He's got good at-bats. He had another good game today. So they got to find a spot for him. If they're going to play Cody in center field, you know, they'll find a spot for Gavin at some point in time, if not at the outset of the game, then certainly in the middle of it.
All right, Ned. Well, can't wait for game five. This is what it's all about. Dodgers, Giants, both with 109 wins going into this deciding game to see who goes on to Atlanta to face the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS. It will be epic. Thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
There he goes, Ned Coletti, former Dodger GM and now Sportsnet LA analyst. The reason why he slipped a couple of times with Logan White's name, that was his former farm director. Logan Webb will be starting for the San Francisco Giants in Game 5 at Oracle Park after pitching 7 2/3 scoreless innings and striking out 10 Dodgers in Game 1 of this series. Speaking of Logan Webb and the Giants, let's head downstairs right now to hear from the losing manager tonight, Gabe Kapler.
I'm sure it'll be a lively atmosphere. It's going to be nice to get back to Oracle and have the support of our fans. And, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Gabe, you've talked a little bit about your team's offensive struggles. What did you see in Game 2 against Urias, as Robert said he's going in Game 5, and what do you think needs to change against him to have a more effective approach at the plate?
I think that's going to take some planning and some conversations, and obviously I'm happy to discuss that with you guys before the game. I think right now we're gonna get together and take a look at the last game against Urias and make adjustments accordingly.
And then as a follow-up, what did you see out of DeSclafani tonight, and was it a command issue or just not having the same life to his pitches?
I think the Dodgers are taking good swings on him. That's first and foremost, and we've seen the Dodgers take some good swings against DeSclafani in the past, and mostly here was just acknowledging that, recognizing it, and you know, making a decision that we were going to, you know, grind our way through it and try to stay in the game with our bullpen.
All right. There's a very robotic Gabe Kapler, who used 8 different pitchers tonight after Anthony DeSclafani went an inning and 2/3 tonight. And, yeah, the Dodgers got good swings off of DeSclafani. It was the 7th time this year they have seen that Giants right-hander. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Dodgers defeat the Giants tonight by a final score of 7-2. Let's go out to Mike, who was at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Mike. You're on Dodgers Talk.
Oh, thanks, David. Yeah, it was awesome. I've spent hundreds of games, and tonight was a special game that needed to happen. I don't think the Dodgers did so bad on the game last night, but the problem was it just didn't fall in. And, you know, the Dodgers are winning right now 16-6 in the playoffs. But they, you know, as far as runs are being coming to it. But
yeah, that doesn't mean anything. That's why we always talk about run differential. Doesn't mean everything, okay?
It's one, yeah, that's true.
You gotta play defense. You got to win close games. And, you know, that's why run differential could be misleading.
One thing that stood out and a lot of people are talking about is how good the Dodgers are. They are really a good team. Their pitching is this is the best bullpen we've had in years, and the guys are really good. Yeah, San Francisco is very athletic. They're good, but they're not as good as the Dodgers. If the Dodgers come out and do what you're saying, and they really get patient with Webb, they should knock him out in 2 or 3 innings and blow these guys out because it's ready. It's ready. The Giants have gotten lucky. I think they've gotten a bunch of lucky balls. They're good players, but things have just kind of bounced their way. If we have one of those games where it breaks out, I think it could be a real blowout. But, again, we hope that their attitude's going to be that way because they certainly are the better team, but we'll see where it goes. It's going to be it's hard being a Dodger fan because they show up sometimes as not showing up, and it's just so frustrating. It just kills us as fans, you know. So.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot for the phone call. I understand where you're coming from. The Dodger offense has had some boom nights, and they have had some bust nights. And tonight was one of those boom nights against a very good matchup for them against Anthony DeSclafani, similar to a very good matchup against Kevin Gausman. And the Dodgers will have to find a way to make adjustments to Logan Webb. And I hate to continue to say it, but the Dodgers were the ones that started this saying, and that's passing the baton, and that's what's going to beat Logan Webb and the Giants in Game 5 in San Francisco. And I do disagree with our caller, Mike, calling the Giants lucky. You don't win 109 games because you're lucky. They are doing something right, and I know their players are not household names outside of guys like Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford, but for the San Francisco Giants this year, they have used a lot of analytics and data to position their players in the right spot. That's why Brandon Crawford was able to make that game-saving catch last night against Mookie Betts. That's why Lamont Wade Jr. made a great catch against Chris Taylor. And I would say the sum is greater than their parts, and that's part of the reason why they've been able to get to this point to force the Dodgers to a Game 5 in the NLDS. Let's go out to Brad, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Brad. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, Dave. I was sitting kind of behind the Giants dugout, and I happened to be sitting next to one of the owners of the Giants, George Drysdale. He had his 2014 World Series ring on. We got talking, and then one of there was like Giant personnel all around me, and one of the guys said, "Man, did Gratterall just hit 103?" And sure enough, I looked up and he touched 103 on the radar. That was pretty awesome. But hey, I had a question for you about the difference between Webb and Gausman. Because in Game 2, it seemed like the Dodgers adjusted to that low and outside pitch off of Gausman. And in Game 1, Webb was throwing it right in the same spot, but the Dodgers just weren't making the adjustment. So what's the difference between those two guys that maybe the Dodgers could take advantage of Webb like they did with Gausman?
Well, number one, like Nick Coletti was saying, Logan Webb was on his game. He was throwing his changeup perfectly in game one. Kevin Gausman was missing up in the strike zone with his split-fingered fastball. That's his money pitch, and he was leaving it up in the strike zone, and the Dodgers were able to push him to the limits. They only scored two runs off of Gausman, but they got him to throw a lot of pitches, even got Gabe Kapler to think about pinch hitting for Gausman in the second inning. But luckily, he did not make that move for the Giants' sake, because Gausman started cruising from that point on. So the Dodgers, you know, I've heard hitting coaches talk about being zone hitters, and I think the Dodgers have to commit to the fact that they're not going to swing at pitches below their knees, because that's where Logan Webb lives with his changeup and the way it was diving out of the strike zone. So they're going to have to be very disciplined. And I'm not pretending to be a hitting coach. I'm not pretending to say it's going to be easy. He has been one of the best pitchers in the second half, not only for the Giants, but in all of Major League Baseball. On the flip side, Kevin Gausman has been one of the worst second half pitchers in Major League Baseball. He had an ERA of 12 in the month of September, so he hasn't been on his game, but Logan Webb has. The Dodgers have good enough players to get to him, though, and we'll see. We'll see. It'll be all in the swings of the Dodgers hitters if they have made those adjustments and whether or not Logan Webb is on his game with that changeup and with his slider. Let's go out to Studio City. Chris, you're on Dodger Talk live from Dodger Stadium. Hi, Chris.
David, long time. Oh, my God. I know it's been all season. I haven't called you, but you know what? I've been listening.
I've been counting the days, life. Chris, since the last time you called.
It's way before COVID, my love. I'm telling you, man. But I've been listening at
my
every
love. Jeez,
single thought.
Come on.
Hey. Hey, you know what? You are the Dodger. You know, what would I call you? You are the Oracle of the Dodgers. And you know what's going on right now is the lineup. We've been talking about this for how many years now? This lineup needs to stay, you know, almost cohesive. We're still dealing with who's going to start, who's not going to do what not. I say we stick with the guys who are happening right now. As you know, Chris Taylor, and we're going to bring Cody back, and we're going to go with, you know, the guys who are hot. But it's important to stick with this lineup. I want to talk to you about the leadoff. Do you think, in your opinion, we should start Trey Turner instead of Mookie?
No. Mookie Betts should be the leadoff hitter. It's been working. Trey Turner hitting third. He had some good swings last night as well, but had nothing to show for it. So I'm all in with Trey Turner as the number three hitter. I'm all in with Mookie Betts leading off. I could see Gavin Lux start in center field in game five. He has the speed to track down fly balls out there at Oracle Park. He got on base all four times tonight, so you know the Dodgers want his bat in the lineup, and I could see Cody Bellinger start at first base again. I could see the same starting lineup in Game 5 that we saw tonight here in Game 4 of the NLDS, because not only did they score seven runs tonight, but they could have scored a lot more, especially in the first three innings. But combined with the Giants' defense and missing some opportunities, they were only up 2-0 after three innings tonight. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We had a chance to catch up with the man that set the tone for the Dodgers in an 11-pitch first inning, and that was Walker Buehler. Walker, 3 days rest, first time in your career, and you gave the Dodgers everything you had.
Yeah, I think it was kind of time for me to be able to walk in and say I wanted the ball, and fortunately I was able to kind of deliver in some way on that, and would have liked to go deeper, would have liked to go longer, but we have a lot of talent in the bullpen, and we trust him, so glad to see them kind of run this thing out.
How big was that first inning? Not only did you put up a zero, but you did it quickly.
Yeah, big for me. Obviously, you know, you want to set the tone in the first inning, and coming off my last outing where I gave up a homer in the first, it was huge. And I think even bigger than that, honestly, is us scoring in the first two innings and getting to settle in and go and make pitches that can be aggressive. And, yeah, huge win for us.
How did you feel in that fifth inning? Did you feel like you had a little bit more, or did you empty the tank?
No, interesting. It's an interesting thing on the short rest deal. I've never done it, and I felt really, really, really good. until probably the fourth or fifth where I started missing up. And, you know, going back to your Little League days, that's when you're a little tired and kind of a feel versus real thing, but was able to figure it out a little bit here and there. And obviously the bullpen covered my ass. So
Joe Kelly especially came in that fifth inning. What can you say about this bullpen all season long?
Well, Joe Kelly's my fantasy football partner, so we expect that kind of stuff out of him. But we have a lot of talent out there and a lot of guys ready to take the ball at any moment. And you know, it's a hard thing to do is be a reliever and never know when you're going to be in there. And our guys are ready every day, and you can't say enough about them.
Before I let you go, I mentioned what a performance you put on 3 days rest. As you walk off the field in the fifth inning, this Dodger crowd recognized that and gave you a standing ovation. How much do you appreciate that they know what you were doing out there tonight?
Obviously, our fan base is special and knowledgeable and knows what's going on, but no offense to them. I'm worried about the 26 guys in that dugout and trying to help us get through this series and go on to do what we want to do. So there's nothing quite like hearing that at Dodger Stadium, but I'm just happy I was able to put us in a position to win.
And that is Game 5 on Thursday night. Walker Buehler was embraced by Julio Urias after coming out in the fifth inning with one out because Julio wanted this opportunity to be able to pitch the Dodgers to the NLCS against the Atlanta Braves, and he has it Thursday night at Oracle Park against Logan Webb and the San Francisco Giants. 866-987-2570. We have to take our guy Lewis, who lives up in the Bay Area. Lewis, sorry I left you on hold last night. What do you have for us?
Oh, a couple things. You're doing a great show. First quick thing, the best comp for Logan Webb is Joe Ross, and he did have a very effective game last year. The Dodgers eventually won. Second point is that, yes, there were a lot of runners left on, but the at-bats were so much better, and the pressure was so good, and the first three hitters were 6 for 14, where last night they were, like, I think, 0 for 11. And I just can't say enough about the quality of at-bats, and I tended to be not as disappointed about not scoring more runs, even though it looked like they should have.
Yeah, there's something about this Dodger team. When their backs are against the wall, they find a way to play their best. I wish they wouldn't force the dramatics the way they do. And remember last year, they were down 3-1 in the NLCS to the Atlanta Braves and came back to win in 7 games. And this series, it's a different one than the one against the Braves. The Dodgers had far more talent and far more pitching than the Atlanta Braves did. This one is very evenly matched and has been all season long. Both of these teams have 109 wins going into Game 5 of the NLDS, which will decide who moves on to take on the Braves in the NLCS. Let's take one more call before we say goodnight. Michael, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight, you're on Dodger Talk. Walk us off.
Hello?
Michael, you're our final caller. Make it good.
All right, man. How are you, Dave? All right,
David. We have established I'm doing great.
Awesome. LA is doing great.
Don't make me take Isabel from Anaheim instead of you, Michael. So make this good.
No. That we're here. We're celebrating. You know, it was a good night for LA, but we know we still got to take care of business. There's a coming up.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Michael, for that inspiration. So, you're not going to walk us off. I got to go to our girl, Isabel in Anaheim. You're our final caller of the night. You make it good for us, Isabel.
Well, they need to win on Thursday. That's what I got to say. This win and just don't play like Friday. So.
Okay. Sounds good, Isabel. Well, it's getting late for everybody. It's a work night. Everybody wants to save their energy for Game 5 of the NLDS at Oracle Park. As the Dodgers and Giants face off to decide who goes on to the NLCS. And don't forget, the Dodgers are hosting a watch party here at Dodger Stadium. It takes place in the center field plaza. You need tickets, so you got to go to Dodgers.com to purchase your watch party tickets for Thursday night here at Dodger Stadium. Parking is free with purchase of it or admission. So you'll get free parking if you buy your tickets to come watch the Dodgers and Giants in the center field plaza here at Dodger Stadium. Before we say goodnight, want to just recognize a big anniversary in Dodger history. I did remind Ron Darling of it, former Met, that tonight, October 12th, 1988, Oral Hershiser was knelt on the mound at Dodger Stadium after a complete game shutout to send the Dodgers to the World Series and beating the mighty Mets in seven games. Ron Darling was the starting pitcher for the Mets that night. So happy anniversary to the 88 Dodgers. And also, great to see Reggie Smith out here, part of the 1981 World Championship team. He threw out tonight's first pitch. Always great to see Reggie Smith back at Dodger Stadium. All right, Game 5 of the NLDS, Thursday night. Our coverage begins at 5 o'clock with Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck. First pitch at 6:07 with Julio Urias on the mound against Logan Webb at Oracle Park in San Francisco. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Dodger Stadium. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app. Once again, the final score from Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers force a Game 5 with a 7-2 win over the San Francisco Giants. Have a great night. See ya. From the side.